Thank you. I have no financial relationships to disclose. I would like to say that this research was funded with a grant from USDA's National Integrated Food Safety Initiative. Older adults are at increased risk of complications, hospitalization, and death from foodborne illness. Older adults are more susceptible to foodborne illness because of decreased immune functioning, decreased appetite, use of some medications, and concurrent illness. Research suggests that although many older adults are knowledgeable about food safety, and in fact they have safer food handling practices compared to younger adults, but many are not following recommended food safety practices. In particular, older adults are not reheating deli meats to steaming hot, which is recommended to prevent illness from listeriosis, properly cooking eggs, using a food thermometer to check the doneness of meat and poultry, using an appliance thermometer to monitor refrigerator temperature, and storing leftovers properly. Early research suggests that older adults view healthcare providers as a trusted source of information on food safety. However, many healthcare providers are not providing information on food safety as part of preventative healthcare. In an earlier phase of this study, we conducted telefocus groups with different types of healthcare providers and found that nurses and relative caregivers, those who provide care for an older adult in their home, were most receptive to educating older adults about food safety. So the purpose of this study was, it was very exploratory in nature, and the purpose was to evaluate a new intervention that was developed by researchers at Tennessee State University under the leadership of Dr. Sandy Godwin. And this intervention is a comprehensive booklet, Food Safety Because You Care, and it contains detailed information on food safety and recommended safe handling practices to help prevent foodborne illness. It's targeted towards older adults and those who provide care for them. And I have a few copies of the booklets here that I can distribute at the end of the session. There's also a website link where you can download it online. The booklet's about 50 pages in length. It's divided into 8 sections. The first section, Learn About Foodborne Illness, provides information on why older adults are susceptible to foodborne illness, so older adults understand why they are at risk, to help motivate them to action. Foods that seniors outgrow provides information on foods that older adults should avoid. Some of these are specific to older adults and other at-risk populations, such as reheating deli meats and avoiding soft cheeses, while others are foods that all of us should avoid in general, such as eating raw meat. Food Storage 101 provides information on properly storing refrigerated perishable foods and provides a chart with recommended storage times. Older adults are known for, because of their deteriorating senses, to hold foods for too long, and also they are hesitant to throw away food that they don't want to waste. The Right Tools for a Spotless Kitchen provides information on tools needed to keep the kitchen clean, as well as using a food thermometer to check the doneness of meat and poultry, and a refrigerator thermometer to monitor refrigerator temperatures. Keeping Food Clean and Safe to Eat provides information on kitchen hygiene and also how to safely wash produce. How to Get Rid of Those Hidden Germs provides information on how to clean and sanitize the kitchen, proper hand washing, how to properly clean cutting boards and sponges. Safe Cooking and Cooling Temperatures provides information on how to use a food thermometer and recommended temperatures, and also the importance of using a refrigerator thermometer. So some information is repeated in multiple sections to kind of reinforce this information. And finally, what to do if a food product is recalled. So here's an example of a section, keeping in mind the older adult audience. A large font size was used, 14-point, use of a lot of white space, bulleted text, and pictures to draw attention to specific areas. And at the end of each section is a short quiz to help reinforce the information that was presented, and the answers are provided in the booklet. So as I said, this was a very exploratory nature. We used a post-only survey design. We disseminated the booklet to over 500 nurses and relative caregivers using a variety of approaches as shown here. We had booths at educational and professional conferences, made good use of the internet, attended some caregiver support group meetings. And to reach out to nurses, we worked with Zoomerang and did a web-based survey. They maintain a panel of nurses that we were able to reach out to. So after disseminating the booklet, we sent a reminder to review the booklet and then followed up with a post-survey that was administered either by mail using pencil and paper or web-based based on the preference of the respondent. Our target was to complete 100 interviews with each group. We completed surveys with 88 nurses and 89 relative caregivers. For our nurse respondents, nearly a half of them, for nearly one half of them, the majority of their patients were age 60 or older. 55% of our respondents were registered nurses. They provided a variety of types of care, 43% specialized in geriatric care, 28% in primary care, and 21% in home health care. And they worked in a variety of settings, including long-term care, rehab facilities, and hospitals. For the relative caregivers, most of the respondents provided care for an older adult in their home 3 or more days a week and prepared meals for them 3 or more days per week. They were educated, and most of our respondents were white. So the next few slides provide information on participants' opinions of the booklet. As you can see here, most of the participants found the booklet to be informative. Caregivers were slightly higher there compared to nurses. So over 98% of the caregivers found the booklet very or somewhat informative, and 98% for nurses. Both subpopulations found the booklet to be useful, the information provided in the booklet to be useful to them, nearly 100% for both groups. 90% of the nurses and nearly all the caregivers agreed that the information provided in the booklet was easy to understand, and after reading the booklet, they were motivated to action. 91% of nurses agreed that they felt better prepared to advise their older adults and or their caregivers on food safety topics, and 96% of caregivers agreed that they felt better prepared themselves to prepare food for their relative. As you can see here, most of the participants in both subpopulations indicated they would be likely to share the information in the booklet with others. So for caregivers, 96% said they would be somewhat or very likely to share the information, and 94% for nurses. So overall, we found that the participants in both subpopulations were well received by the intervention. The outcomes of interest were the extent to which older adults recipients of the information booklet, were they advising their older adult patients to make changes to their behavior. So for nurses, we asked them whether or not they, since receiving the booklet, if they advised older adult patients not to eat certain foods because of food safety concerns. So this was a yes-no question, and if they responded yes, then we asked them to write in the specific food, so it was an unaided response. So over 57% of nurses told their older adult patients to avoid certain foods, and the foods that were mentioned are listed here. 27% raw or undercooked eggs. The recommended practice is to cook eggs till the whites and yolks are firm. Nearly 24% indicated raw or undercooked meat or poultry, and 20% soft cheeses. We asked a similar question of caregivers. 58% of caregivers indicated that they advised their older adult relative not to eat specific foods. These are listed here. We see some of the same foods that were listed on the previous screen. So more than half advised their relative to not eat raw or undercooked eggs, 23% to avoid soft cheeses, and so on. We're also interested in the extent to which recipients of the booklets provided recommendations or advice on specific food safety practices. So again, we asked a yes-no question, and if they responded yes, we asked them to write in the specific practice. So 57% of nurses advised their older adults and or their caregivers with specific information on food safety practices. About a third indicated other storage practices, which included using a food thermometer, using a thermometer in the refrigerator to monitor the temperature, and keeping track of storage time, 32% to store refrigerated foods for the proper time. For caregivers, 71% reported that they made changes themselves in how they store, handle, or prepare food for their relative. So again, we see some of the same practices listed here. About a third indicated other storage practices, so using a refrigerator thermometer to monitor refrigerator temperatures, keeping track of storage times, and not putting too much food in the refrigerator so that air can circulate. 32% provided advice on storing refrigerated foods for proper time, and 31% using proper kitchen hygiene. So these findings suggest, although that they're self-reported, that respondents were making changes in their practices based on the information provided in the booklet. It's recommended that an appliance thermometer be placed in the refrigerator to monitor the temperature to ensure it's at 40 degrees or less. 40% of nurses advised their older adult patients to use an appliance thermometer. For caregivers, 17% actually put a thermometer in the refrigerator when they previously did not have one. And among those who did not own a refrigerator thermometer, 82% reported intentions to buy one. It's also recommended that one use a food thermometer to check the doneness of meat and poultry. 56% of nurses advise their older adult patients and or their caregivers to use a food thermometer. 14% of the caregiver respondents purchased a food thermometer. And among those who did not own one, 75% reported intentions to buy one. The last specific behavior that we asked about was preparing fried eggs. Based on recent survey research, more than half of older adults do not properly prepare fried eggs. They're not cooking the yolk till they're done. They prefer them to be over easy. For nurses, 48% of the nurse participants advised their older adults to make changes in their practices for preparing eggs. And among caregivers, about 48% reported changing how they prepare eggs, and at follow-up, 85% reported that they were cooking eggs until the yolks are firm. So although this was an exploratory study, the findings suggest that the intervention was well received by nurses and relative caregivers. The intervention, after exposure to the intervention, nurses were prompted to discuss food safety with their older adult patients. Previously, only about half had talked with their patients about food safety, so this indicates some movement towards making this more of a topic of discussion in wellness care. And also for caregivers, provided some increase in knowledge and led caregivers to improve their own food safety practices. The limitations of the study include the post-only design and the small sample size. A larger study is needed with an experimental design to examine the impact of the intervention on older adults' food safety practices. That's the end. Are we doing questions now?
Yes. We have a few minutes for questions.
Okay. And I do have copies of the booklet if you'd like to take one with you. Yes?
Does the reheating of hot dogs and deli meats, they recommend, do they
You could micro. The question is with regards to deli meats and hot dogs when preparing those for at-risk populations, and those can be reheated using a microwave if they're reheated to steaming hot, temperature of 165 degrees.
I also had a question. I noticed that the one of your slides indicated that 10% of caregivers make changes when they were washing their hands. Do you have any baseline data about how many caregivers are using proper hand washing techniques prior to preparing meals or caring for their...
So the question is about proper hand washing, and what we reported was self-reported at baseline, but survey research with older adults show that about 80% are washing their hands, say, before preparing meals and after handling raw meat. I guess the problem with that data still is it is self-reported, and whether they're following the recommended practice of, you know, 15 to 20 seconds and vigorous scrubbing and so on. So, yes. So the actual number is probably much less. So, good question. So, any other questions? Thank you.